Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos of Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We are positively here at Greenmount Station in Hampstead. I have the Back to the Future scratch-offs. The Maryland Lottery puts us out on the road to eat. We call it the Crab Cake Tour, singular. David Richardson just saw me eat two crab cakes, so it's the Crab Cakes Tour, and they are delicious up here at Greenmount Station in Hempstead. We're going to have the show back on the road. We'll be at Fadley's next Friday. We're doing 16, maybe 17, I got another spot, crab cake tours this summer, and we're starting things off up here, and really a homeland for me. I've had all sorts of football players up here, future Hall of Famers, current Hall of Famers. The last show we ever did up here, we had Sam Cook's last appearance. He lives down the road here. Beautiful Carroll County, God's country, as I say. But David Richardson, he's from the other part of God's country. He is right underneath the Twin Towers at Dundalk and Gray Manor.
Yeah.
Right around the corner from where I grew up, Colgate. He is an East Side guy. He always said, I'm a Gray Manor guy. So that tells me I'm an East Point guy.
Yeah.
He is the proprietor of all things Greenmount Bowl. They are next door. We're at Greenmount Station here. The OTB is, I'm literally touching the wall here along with the Athletics Hall of Fame at North Carroll High School. So come on up to Carroll County. Enjoy yourself. Bowl a little bit. You got a Taylor Swift dance-off going?
We do. It's in July. I think it's the second Saturday in July, so I've got a whole summer full of theme nights coming up.
Is that called Shake It Off?
No, I kind of like that, though. Well, maybe we could rebrand it. But no, Taylor Swift night, I'm telling you, pack the house every single year. We normally try to do two a year.
Nobody,
country night starts with country night.
Nobody should
Saturday.
Hate on Taylor Swift. I mean, come on, be nice to Taylor.
Look, they love her. They love her. They line up to get in, and you know, and it's the young girls to the, you know, 40-year-old moms, and they all dress up, and it's better with our big video wall over there. It's better than being at the concert because you're right up there, right up close.
I began the day today saying that I would never play pickleball. I had Justin Drummond from Planet Fitness on all summer long. 14 to 19-year-old kids go to Planet Fitness free all summer. It's their summer pass. I've been talking about that. And I said, there are things I'm willing to do, not willing to do. I'm not going to play pickleball.
All right.
My back, you know, I have the back thing going on, L4.
Both getting L3, get L4. Some age a little
so,
bit.
Like, anything that, like, I was a catcher, and I do squats now in yoga, so I'm strong to do that. But, like, anything that involves golf, swinging in a batting cage, I'm not going to do. Yeah. The one thing that I would like to do that I don't think my back, I would hurt my back, if a couple of Advil and maybe a little loosening it up, is I'd like to duck pin bowl again.
Well, how's that finger? That finger going to work out okay?
No,
with
that's,
you, huh?
That's a 10
that,
pin
okay?
ball.
Okay.
You remember that story where
okay.
I
do remember
ass?
That story.
You
I
never
do
forget
remember
that
story.
Story. I don't want a 10 pin. I want a duck pin.
Well, let's make it happen, huh? Let's make
you
it
got
happen.
Duck pins over there?
Yeah, it's half the. I'm a Dundalk guy. What do you think?
Well, everybody in the East Side says they closed down Patterson, then they reopened. They closed down Patterson. Side Alley's gone.
I grew up in East Point Bowling Alley. My
dude,
father
East
worked
Point
at Bethlehem Steel.
Gone. Fairly
I know that's
East
been
Point's
long gone.
Gone,
but that's where I grew up. I was you know, probably 4 years old when I started bowling East Point Bowling. My father worked at Bethlehem Steel. That's what everybody did on Sunday nights. We went to East Point.
You went
bowling
Sunday night. I was
we
Saturday
were Sunday
morning.
Nights. We were. That's why I bowled Saturday.
I would get up
and
watch Super Friends on Saturday morning, and then I would go over. And I would get that's Bowling Alley pizza, proper crinkle-cut French fries that you can still get at Pizza John's in Essex.
Yep.
And then we would have that red fruit punch that they put into the big thing there and the horchata machines, you know?
Yeah, oh, I remember.
Play Pac-Man,
remember.
Play Asteroids, Space Invaders, Chase Girls.
That's why we bought that, but we could not see another duck pin bowling alley go the way of the dodo bird. I mean, we've already lost two this year. Glen Burnie, the Glen Burnie Duck Pin Bowling Alley, that closed.
What?
I think that last day was
dude,
Saturday.
Dude, duck pin bowling can't survive in Glen Burnie and Dundalk.
It's surviving here. I will tell you that. We're doing really well.
Well, I got to come up and bowl then. I mean, like literally, if it's about supporting you and keeping you.
Well, we're keeping it going. If it'll be nowhere else, it'll be still be up here in Carroll
County.
I'm
not convinced I'm ever going to swing a tennis racket again in my life. And I love tennis.
You can throw a
duck I'm not going to fall in love with pickleball, so I'm not going to play it.
Yeah.
I do like swinging a baseball bat, but I've done enough of that.
Yeah.
And golf, nah. But bowling, I'm missing out at the lanes.
You know, and it's not as much about the bowl, and that's why we try to do things a little different. It's more about the social aspect of things,
at
too.
At night at the
you
lanes.
You know, and that's
what
we don't have that much. There's not an environment, especially ever since COVID. You know, we built such a good community over there. It's more about just going, hanging out with your friends, having a beer, the bowling's kind of secondary, but you know, we just built a good community.
Yeah, anybody like bowl a perfect game over there or go 8 frames?
There has never been a perfect game in duck pin bowling, ever. Ever. There's never been a 300 game. Never.
Really?
Never. Never. Nope.
It's that hard to do.
It's that hard. Everybody thinks it's an easy game.
It's like easier hitting
power. It's easier to do. It's easier to throw the ball. But if you think if you got a duck pin ball, you go right through the middle. A 10-pin ball is huge. You're not going to chop right through the middle. But we have duck pin and 10-pin. We're half and half. It's 12 duck pins, half 10 pins.
I picked up a 7-10 split one time in duck pin.
That's real. That's tough.
I mean, you have to go.
That's tough. You got to bounce it off the wall.
But I did it once in my life.
Yeah.
I did. I mean, I'll brag about it 40 years later. Yeah. But I did a lot of duck pin bowling. I bowled.
You're a Baltimore 45 guy. That's what everybody
did. Year
and
I did Pinland years and years ago. I did my charity challenge.
Yeah. Maybe we'll revive that here. I just had an idea.
Light went on.
Huh? All right.
I knew a guy who had a duck pin bowling alley. David Richardson is here. We're at Greenmount Station next to Greenmount Bowl. Yeah, look, I like talking bowling with you. We can talk gambling and OTB as I'm touching the wall here. But what I really brought you here to talk about was your involvement in horse racing.
Sure.
And last time you had me up, we had an unbelievable conversation with Alan Foreman.
Yep.
We did a good hour and a half, 2 hours. Chris brought crab cakes over for us. I told you how good the crab cakes were.
Yeah,
you just didn't know.
But you still fry them, though. I tell you, you should broil these crab cakes, Ness. I mean,
that plate's empty over there.
I know it
is. And it's because I enjoyed
it.
I'm still stuck in my teeth because I fried it. horse racing industry. Don't be mad at me. Don't be mad at me, all right?
No.
I'm still friends, right? I did not go to the Preakness this year.
Oh, Ness, come on now.
Well, what had happened was I fried my board, so I have my Alesis old school radio board here. I went out to the Maryland party, which a lot of people do, by the way, at the Wynn with Howard Perlow and a bunch of developers and other business and political leaders. And so I went out a little early. Sammy Hagar was involved.
Oh, okay.
So Sammy Hagar played on that Saturday night. So I did go out a little early. But the Preakness and horse racing and the track. You know, my dear friends at Costas opened this week in Timonium.
Yeah, that's exciting. It really is exciting.
And I'm going to be doing the show over there first week of July. And you know, they're family to me, Mr. Costas. God bless his soul. And there's an example. I just name dropped the Costas family and anything you would know about them if you ever have been to Costas in Dundalk and you peed in the main restaurant. The entire back wall is nothing but horse racing winner photos of Mr. Costas' horses.
Fantastic guy. And what happened with him was just a shame.
Well, and you're from Dundalk. I'm from over there. Ronnie Franklin, you know, whatever. I mean, we didn't grow up with horses in the backyard.
Yeah, me neither.
I certainly didn't grow up a bookie on my street or anything like that either. But the nature of horse racing being a part of the Maryland culture, a part of my background, your background, things we've talked about, and trying to build a race back up. We're going down to Laurel now.
Yep.
Let's just go soup to nuts.
Sure.
I'm not going to do an hour. We'll do 15, 20 minutes on this. But I want you to give me, like I'm from out of state, like if I'm not from around here, move to Baltimore. I hear there's a race. I hear there's a track. I hear there used to be a thing here. What do people need to know about what's coming and what is and what the dilapidated facility that we saw on television a couple weeks ago that we're all a little wistful about but a little embarrassed by? We all know its time is coming and gone. You're kind of not in charge of it, but you got a piece of the action here. What I'm getting here for my listeners is authoritative information.
Sure.
Tell everybody
what
you do.
Yeah, no, what I do, I'm the executive director of the Maryland Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association, which, like when I've told Ness in the past, we're kind of like the Players Association. That's the best way to equate what we do here.
Not the jockeys, though.
Not
so when
the
you
jockeys.
Say the Players Association,
the
I'm thinking
owners,
you
trainers,
represent everyone that touches the horse or owns the horse or has a piece of the horse in any way except the jockey.
Correct.
So the people that rub down the horse. Veterinarians?
But,
no.
But we're all part of one community. The horse racing, it's a community here in Maryland. That's what's a little bit different in Maryland. You know, a lot of the other states are very transient. And we, you know, in Maryland, we've got a year-round industry. You know, we really, really do. We race from January to December every single year. You know, horse race, the Preakness is our premier event. Preakness is as ingrained in our community, our heritage, our culture, as duck pin bowling is, as crab cakes, as the Orioles. I mean, it's a part of who we are. And that's kind of, you know, what we're in the midst of right now. It's going to be a total rebirth of the, you know, Preakness, of the whole Maryland racing industry. And that was the difficult challenge that we had. As you know, we race at Laurel and Pimlico. Pimlico's only on a small little piece of property. That's kind of the challenge that we've had to
solve.
It
doesn't have the barn area, the stable area.
Not enough. Pimlico property is only about 100 acres. And, you know, it was very important. It is very important. It's very important to the state of Maryland that Preakness stays within the Park Heights in the Baltimore community. But that facility just can't house the entire Maryland racing industry to sustain it from January to December. So we had to creatively figure out how do we, you know, rebuild these facilities. The Laurel Park facility, which is owned by the Stronach Group, First Racing, that piece of property is worth a fortune. You got to think of where it is in the dynamics of Maryland. It's literally,
but that will not be a racetrack 10 years from now.
No. I mean, the goal is to – the Preakness has run. So I believe within the next few days, the power at Pimlico is getting cut off. The property is getting turned over to Clark Construction, and they're going to demolish really everything aside from the
is
racing
that soon,
oval.
Huh?
Yeah, no, it's within
real
weeks.
Balls.
Within
okay.
weeks. I mean
Well, this is timely. I appreciate you coming
yeah,
on.
Yeah, no. So that whole property will totally be leveled. I'm sure you've seen some preliminary drawings online. If not, you can go to the Baltimore Sun and you can just Google it. You can see some preliminary drawings. It's still a work in progress, but the demolition's going to take place first. But in conjunction with that, you just can't rebuild Pimlico. We have thousands, you know, about 1,000 other horses that have to sustain Maryland racing year round. So you have to have a home for those horses as well. And that's why.
And when I was with you, it was about 2 years ago,
sure,
with Alan Foreman, this was all about to go into action. We're about a year, over a year into the momentum of getting a fork in the ground,
yep,
right there. And yep. Do we know what this structure is?
Yeah, no. Like I said, you can go on.
It's all, you can go see it.
You can go see it. You know, it's still a work in progress as to what it's going to look like, but there are some drawings out there as to what it's going to look like. It's going to be
different drawings. In my mind.
It's going to be a totally rebuilt grandstand itself. And, you know, a lot of the Preakness facilities are going to be built out like they do now in tents. You know, in these tent structures. So there's going to be the infrastructure there to build out on these larger events, but a grandstand area that's going to sustain racing, not just for Preakness, but for the rest of the year.
Is that 5,000 seats, 3,000 seats?
You know, I'm not 100% sure.
I think a lot of this is about having outdoor grassy area that is
exactly
more like what the beer deck at Camden Yards is.
Exactly.
More like, and younger people prefer that, and that's what they prefer at Del Mar and these
and
other tracks that are
racing,
sexy, right?
Horse racing is even more to the fact, you know, in baseball, they're taking out just physical seats. People don't want to go to an event and just sit at the seat for a few hours and watch the event. They want to circulate around. Working with Populous, which is the former HOK, the company that actually
built Camden Yards.
Sure. Yeah, they're the architects for this project. And horse racing especially, people want to walk around and engage and go into the paddock and watch the horses. And so it's going to be built in a way that people can just circulate around, and it's more of an event day. So that project's already started. Like I said, the demolition is here starting in the next few weeks. But in conjunction with that, in order to sustain year-round racing, you have to house about 1,000 horses, maybe probably close to 1,200 horses we have to maintain or house year-round. There's not enough room on the Pimlico footprint. There'll probably be only enough room to house maybe 300 horses, 350 horses or so at Pimlico. So we need another facility. Unfortunately, the Laurel facility, there's a lot of environmental issues with Laurel. There's a lot of zoning issues. I mean, Laurel's well over 100 years old. It's as dilapidated, the bones and the structure of the racetrack and the facility, as Pimlico was. Pimlico looked terrible on the face. Laurel was cleaned up to look pretty good, but as far as the infrastructure that
more Laurel's money was like, put into Laurel in the last 30 years.
Yeah.
I saw the Laurel when they first had the betting parlor and the casino like all that. The thoughts of it was
Laurel
a big casino.
Looks good on the inside, but the bones, I mean, the facility itself is well over 100 years
old. All you have to do is visit. It is what it is.
Yeah, it's crumbling.
Yeah.
So we need our year-round racing will be at Pimlico. So that'll be where we race from January to December every single year. But we have to house more than the 300 horses that Pimlico will be able to sustain. So that's where we actually picked a site in Sykesville, Maryland. It was the old Shamrock Farm, which was actually owned by the Steelers, Art Rooney. He owned it. Was a thoroughbred racing farm, thoroughbred racing
out here in Carroll County.
Absolutely. It was owned by the Rooney family. They were getting out of the business, so we actually had a good opportunity to acquire that property. There's already been an authorization from the Board of Public Works to acquire that property. And the goal is, with the rebuilt Pimlico, to also open a training facility that we will build from the ground
up. This would
up.
Offset the problem with the acreage at Pimlico
Correct.
That really horses can't live there and
Correct.
Be stable.
Just
there.
Because you just don't have the room. You just don't have the. I mean, ideally, it would be great to have a racetrack that houses 1,200 horses, but because of the footprint of Pimlico, they just all won't.
Tell
fit.
Me about this space out here. How big is the space in Carroll County?
It's a good 600 or so acres. The state is going to acquire a portion of that property. And we're still in the early planning stages of that right now, but it'll probably house about 800 or so horses, plus the infrastructure that goes along with it, the workforce that goes along with it. It'll be a real boon to the local economy there.
It's a big thing for Carroll County.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, just for the hay, the feed, the straw, the amount of ancillary businesses that'll support that training center, it's going to be huge. It's going to be good for the state's economy, and it's an agricultural. You know, I tell people
better for the animals. Better for all the way around.
It's going to be more open. When you're at a racetrack, you're kind of crammed in there. It's basically going to be a farm with a racetrack. You know, but
Bowie, after Bowie closed, and we're going on 40 years for that. That was a
Bowie
training
was.
Facility.
Bowie
right?
was Fair Hill is too.
I never went to Bowie after it closed as a track, but I used to fly, and you could see it when you're flying over BWI. You'd look down and say that used to be Bowie,
and
you'd see the track, and the stands were gone, but you could see where it was.
And Bowie was an option to do the training facility. It was quite a long drive from Bowie up to Pimlico, but there's also a lot of environmental challenges with Bowie.
Bring those beautiful equine creatures out here to Carroll County.
So
let them graze.
So it's a nice short drive. So for the most part, the horses will be based at, aside from the 300 or so, they can be based at Pimlico. Horses will be based at the training facility in, I'd say Sykesville. I guess that's Winfields.
But not Eldersburg.
I guess you could say Eldersburg too. It's in that area, but it'll be a.
I'm doing a show at 1623. By the way, next month. There you go.
Well, I'm thrilled because look, I'm a Carroll County guy. We've got the bowling alley. We've got the OTB. I mean, I'm as Carroll County as it comes. You know, a transplant from Dundalk. A transplant from Dundalk. But I'm definitely a Carroll County guy, and I'm proud to have it. I would have loved to have it here in Hampstead. Unfortunately, we couldn't find a parcel of land close by here in Hampstead. But it's a beautiful piece of property. And, you know, it's a piece of property that, I'd rather have that piece of property as a, it's not going to be a race, it's going to be a training facility, than a housing development or something like that. You know, it's something that supports agriculture and supports thousands of jobs in this, you know, in the state. So I think it's a win. It's a win for Maryland. It's a win for the Preakness. It's a win for Carroll County.
This stuff takes time, though, right?
It does.
And
well,
this is that
we've
period.
Been talking about this for, 10 years?
Well, you and me were 2 years ago, and it feels like 5 minutes ago at the bowling alley, right?
Yeah.
Like,
it's been a tough challenge.
This is coming down the line.
And this isn't happening anywhere, Ness. This is happening nowhere else in the country. It really is.
You know, well, so. And also, it was 25 years, and I go back to the broken tote board and punching the horse and the running of the urinals and what, you know, the Belinda Stronach turning it into a debutante ball and Bruno Mars. Just all the iterations of what Preakness was. Preakness is the centerpiece of all of it and sort of the why behind a lot of this. And yet the industry has decided on its own that the Preakness isn't that important. And that was my thesis with Donna Brothers 4 weeks ago. That's my thesis with Dick Girardi when I bring him down for Philly or I'm talking to any of the old, I had Randy Moss on a couple weeks ago. Just the concern that if the Derby winner is not at the Preakness, is it a Preakness? What are we doing? And aside from all of your legwork, aside from all of Carroll County, the state of Maryland, everybody here trying to get their act together, to get Pimlico together, to get the Preakness together, and my Costas buddies doing the Timonium thing, and OTBs popping up and all of that, Preakness has to have the Derby winner, man. It has to, like this Triple Crown thing, y'all got to get in the room and pray, and get the Churchill billionaires in the room with the Naira billionaires and whoever's running the show here and whoever the Foxes and the NBCs and whoever they are, and say, if we're going to have a sport of kings, we, you know, like, let's go.
And we've got the opportunity to do things differently with this, with the opportunity we have in front of us. Stronach is out. As soon as the new Pimlico is built, the Maryland Jockey Club is transitioned from a foreign company. Stronach is based in Canada. They don't really know the heritage and the culture here in Maryland. I think that's kind of where some of the disconnect was.
We got to hang out here to figure that out.
Yeah, I mean, we're different. As you know, we're different here.
We're not Kentucky. We're not California.
We're not Florida. Yeah. We're Baltimore, and it's a different culture here, especially horse racing wise. So it was tough for these guys, and I don't fault them. I think they've tried their best, but it was a group from Florida and from Canada that came in and ran the Preakness, and it just didn't work. I'll give it to them. They spent money.
This is different
money.
Than not spending money they on players money. The way
Absolutely.
Baseball has done it.
They
time,
spent
right?
money. It just didn't work. So, but now they're out. Once the new Pimlico was built, the Maryland Jockey Club.
When is that? When's the new Pimlico built? The
plan right now is we're going to be at Laurel next year. The Preakness is going to be run at Laurel. So that's 2026. The Stadium Authority, populace, everybody swears that 2027 Preakness will be held at the new Pimlico. It may not be completely finished. We may be in all tents, but I would say we're almost 99% sure that the new Preakness will, or the 2027 Preakness will be at
the
new Pimlico.
It's only one. You're trying to get away with just
one. Only one. Yeah, so it's going to be a little bit challenging to get there. But once that happens, when the new Preakness is held at the new Pimlico, that's going to be managed by all local folks. It's no outside company, no Stronach Group. The board of directors for this new nonprofit entity was just appointed. It's a 9-person board, all local business people. It's going to be run by Marylanders for Marylanders, and we have the opportunity to maybe address some of these problems. I mean, one of the biggest problems that affects the Preakness is the scheduling. You know, back 100 years ago, it was no big deal to run a horse every 2 weeks. Now it's unheard of to really run a stakes quality horse every 2 weeks. That's why we can't really get the Derby horse, because it's the Derby winner. It's too tough on the horses to run every 2 weeks. So we do have the opportunity to maybe look at some new television contracts.
All right, Commissioner Richardson, what if you could do what would happen? Give me the pathway to make it better if you're God.
Look, I think there's some opportunities. We've had a great partnership with NBC, but also there's Fox out there as well.
And NBC screw with the time of it to accommodate hockey.
They do.
I was at Las Vegas that night, and they throw a party. I think Whiteford Taylor's throwing a big party. Yeah. And the timing of it's different because like we're thinking, well, they run that race about 5:15, 5:30, and then it was, they're going to run about 6. Sure. They're going to run about 6:15. They're going to close down. Yeah. You know, so like they really have moved that back. So, I remember it used to be like the 9th race, and they would run 13 races out of Pimlico.
Yeah.
You know, they race all night, but no.
So, I mean, we do have to look into, you're absolutely right. We have to attract a bigger field. We have to attract the Derby horse. And I think we do have to look at opportunities. And I respect the tradition. You know, I really do. I mean, the Preakness and you know, we're nowhere without the tradition that we've had. But we do. It's a different world. It's a different industry. The animals are different. The horses are different now than
they
were.
They're bred differently, trained differently. There's a science involved in it.
So there has to be a hard look at really figuring out that schedule a little bit differently. Even if it's, you know, I've even thrown at the idea for years, even, you know, look into moving to Sunday. You know, maybe create an extra day of racing in there and look, even if it's just one day, I don't think that's enough to get the Derby horse. But I think we have the ability to be creative, to do things a little bit differently, because we have to sustain ourselves for the next 30, 40, 50 years of this race. And I think we, you know.
Well, Preakness, just as we're moving a week, boom, then it's up to Belmont.
That's part
like,
of the problem.
At some point, somebody pulls the middle finger or the jackknife out.
But
right?
we have the opportunity to also partner with New York and Belmont. And if we could somehow come up with a partnership.
It's kind of like trying to get Bob Arum and Don King together.
But it's doable.
40 years
you know
ago.
What? We yeah. can do it. I think we have to do it. We have to rely on one another, because the Triple Crown, it's the crown jewel of this industry. It really is. And we have to, you know, look, we're rebuilding Pimlico. They rebuilt Yankee Stadium.
I would say, you know, look, Maryland has done its part. And that's the part where, as a Marylander, if I were the governor, if I ran the track, if I were loudmouth on the radio, I'd say, hey, boys, you know, we ponied up, as we would say, right? Yeah. Like the state finally came through and found the solution that you've laid out.
Yep.
We've gotten rid of the bad eggs and the different eggs. We're ready to go forward. But we can't go forward without the Derby horse. Come on.
And we have to run it like a successful business. It's on us as an industry itself to run this.
Why do the Belmont people not want if the Derby winner doesn't come to the Preakness, how does that help the Belmont?
Good question. You know, but it now that Stronach is out of the picture long term here, it kind of gives us, look, we're coming into this as a blank slate. We don't have the baggage, I guess, you know, to go to
Make it better for everybody.
Absolutely.
That's all.
Absolutely.
Just make it
I think we've got a good opportunity to do that. I can't say that we're going to get X done, but you know, we have a clean slate and we have an opportunity to do this differently. And I think I'm excited. I really am. I feel really, really good about where we're headed.
All right. Now look, man, you planted the seed in me doing a charity duck pin bowling event. Mm. You know I love the sound. I love everything about
that.
Come
on, Ness.
Right?
Come
I love
on,
everything Ness. About that.
Mm. We do a lot of we got to do a lot
beer,
of fundraisers
lights,
here.
Charity, Carroll County, beer, bowling,
what else
10-pin bowling.
What else you need? Huh? And we got Rock'em.
You know
got
what?
The shirt
Here's
on,
what I
got
to do. I'm gonna send out a challenge right now. Danny Wiseman, you want some of this? You want some of this? Come get some of this. Greenmount Bowl. Is that good? That was a little Dundalk challenge.
I think we can.
Yeah, Danny, you know, Danny grew up at Colt Lanes, and that's on the Gray Manor side of Merritt Boulevard, even though he was on the Berkshire side and I was on the Colgate side.
The rumor is they're taking the duck pin lanes out of the old Colt Lanes.
I'm going to have to look into that.
Yeah.
Somebody
yeah.
look into that.
Yeah.
I'll be affidavit. How many duck pin houses are left
God,
in the state?
God, Ness, there's not many. I'm telling you.
How do you repair your machines? How do you order duck pins?
Does
anybody make
duck
pins?
It's a funny story. I'm going to take you back there. The old machines, and the reason why duck pins never really expanded, the patent died with the guy who invented these machines, who was an old World War II submarine mechanic. And you go back there, and it's literally like you're in an old World War II submarine.
Is it like the Flintstones? You got monkeys back there setting the pins up?
You know, look, I've got the world's best mechanic who keeps those things running. But it's really, it's a step
out of
1940s.
So what you're telling me is I better come through a party soon.
No, we're in it for the long haul.
He ain't going nowhere.
We're not going in. As long as I'm around, that place is going to be here. So I don't know about these other places. But that's that. But no, I was like I said, we lost the duck pin house just this past weekend in Glen Burnie. That's done. There's a place in Hagerstown. That just closed. And, the duck pins are coming out of
I wish I could go retrieve my duck pin balls, the ones I
got
at East Point Mall. I'm not going to bowl with any house ball, you know.
We'll get you a nice little engraved Nestor logo. Huh? We can hook you up.
You know, Wiseman and I graduated together on the stage at Dundalk Community College 40 years ago Monday.
Wow. Well,
we're in the same graduating class. So, Wiseman, I'm coming to get you. I got the somebody about the gangster Greenmount Bowl rock
bowl. That's we do that every
gangster,
Friday.
We do
that every Friday, Saturday night. See, you got duck pins and ten pins right there. So we try to do things a little differently up here. And
I'm going to make you book my friend's band is what I'm going to make you do. Come up here and have some
Ness,
80s rock.
If I had the room over there, maybe I could figure this out. Maybe, you know, when things slow down a little bit, I like to have a little bit. Little nightclub over there. We can host some bands.
We'll have to get a room in the parking lot, drive
love
home
it.
After up something up
would
here.
Love
especially
it.
With all these orange crushes on the menu now. My
it.
Friends at Deep Eddy. Thanks to our friends at the Maryland Lottery putting us out on the road. We got 16 Maryland Crab Cake tours this summer. Beginning right here at Greenmount Station today as we get the party started. We'll be at Fadley's next Friday. We're going to be at Reader's in Reisterstown. We're going to be at the Y in Randallstown at the Pool 2 weeks from now. We're going to be at the new Costas OTB location in Timonium first week of July. And then we're going to be at 1623 Brewing in Eldersburg second week of July, right after the All-Star game. And then 27th anniversary in August, 27 of my favorite dishes in 27 days, and it all roads lead back to Dundalk and an egg custard snowball.
Nice.
I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Back for more Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I'm two crab cakes in with my man David Richardson. Melody Barron's going to join us here to talk about LinkedIn Local as well as networking. And one of my favorite places inside the city limits, the Maryland Zoo, chimpanzees, giraffes, and penguins. Back for more. We're at Greenmount Station. Stay with us.